A dark sphere is lit up by beams of light bursting up out of its surface. The beams etch out the continents of the Earth. As the planet tilts on its axis, the word Universal wraps around it in glowing letters. www.universalstudios.com. Darkness, a comet streaks across it. Numbers twinkle in the blackness like stars interspersed with flashes of lightning. Now letters appear at random, then in a dazzling rush of light form the word Studio Canal, a Canal Plus company. Hugh Grant, Toni Collette and Rachel Weisz in a Paul Weitz and Chris Weitz film about a boy. And introducing Nicholas Holt as Marcus. Tall, good-looking, Will paces around his trendy flat. The television is on.
Who wrote the phrase, no man is an island?
He walks past the TV.
John Donne. John Milton. John F. Kennedy. John Bon Jovi.
He picks up the remote.
John Bon Jovi. Too easy. In my opinion, all men are islands. And what's more, now's the time to be one. This is an island age. 100 years ago, for instance, you had to depend on other people. No one had TV or CDs or DVDs or videos or home espresso makers. As a matter of fact, they didn't have anything cool. Whereas now, you see, you can make yourself a little island paradise. With the right supplies and, more importantly, the right attitude, you can be sun-drenched, tropical, a magnet for young Swedish tourists. And I like to think that perhaps I'm that kind of island. I like to think I'm pretty cool. I like to think I'm Ibiza.
He puts on a black jacket and briefly admires himself in a mirror. In a darkened bedroom, a boy Marcus lies in bed.
There were people out there who had a good time in life. I was beginning to realise I wasn't one of them. I just didn't fit. I didn't fit at my old school. I definitely didn't fit at my new one.
He takes his hamster from its cage.
I heard that some kids got taught by their parents at home, but Mum couldn't do that unless I paid her to teach me, because it was just her and me. And she went to work. She made £400 a week. Where was I going to get that kind of money from? Maybe if I was like that movie kid, Haley Joel Osment, I could pay her that much. But if that meant being good at drama, forget it. I was crap at drama, because I hated standing up in front of people. So basically, I had to go to school.
By the time the alarm goes off, dark-haired Marcus, with his pudding bowl haircut, is lying in his school uniform on his bed. He gets up and goes out of the front door. Will opens the door of a silver Audi TT with its remote.
The sad fact is that, like any island dweller, from time to time, I had to visit the mainland.
Will pulls away from the curb and the Audi drives off down the street and takes a right turn. Later, Will's presented with a baby at one of his friend's houses.
Well, this is Imogen. You can hold her if you like.
Reluctantly, he takes her.
Hey. Yeah, got her. Lovely.
He looks awkward.
Yeah, she's,
He searches for the word.
Delightful, isn't she?
Isn't she?
He half-heartedly rocks her.
Tell the truth, Chris, I'm being a bit crap with her. You better take her back.
He hands her back and wipes his hand on a cushion.
I just think she could have been yours if you got your act together.
Just think of that, yeah. So, the place is looking,
A stain on the sofa.
Really nice.
Barney. Oops, say hello to Will, Barney!
Oh! And here we go, it's the Antichrist. Hello, Barney. How are you?
Oh, he's lovely.
Yeah.
What about you, Will? Any desire for a family of your own yet?
I'd rather eat one of Barney's dirty nappies.
Yeah, not really. I'm sort of all right as I am, I think.
Oh, please, Will.
What's that mean? Oh, please, what?
Well, look at yourself. You're 38 and you've never had a job or a relationship that lasted longer than 2 months. I wouldn't exactly say you were okay. I mean, I would say you were a disaster. I mean, what is the point of your life?
Bloody hell. Well, no, you're probably right. There's probably no point to my life, but thank you for bringing it up.
Will, the reason we wanted you to come here today was, well, we wanted to ask you...
John gestures to Christine, who joins him.
How would you like to be Imogen's godfather?
Will's stunned.
Seriously?
Seriously.
Mm-hmm. He gulps.
Well, listen, I'm really, really touched, but, you must be joking. I couldn't possibly think of a worse godfather for Imogen.
You know what I'm like. I'll drop her on her head at her christening. I'll forget all her birthdays until her 18th when I'll take her out and get her drunk.
John and Christine are taken aback.
Seriously, it's a very, very bad choice.
Well, no, I just thought you had hidden depths, Will.
Oh, no. You've always had that wrong. I really am this shallow.
The boy Marcus walks to school with his mum.
Well, here we are.
You know, you don't have to walk me to school anymore now, Mum. I know the way now.
But what's for like walking you to school?
Marcus and his mum are both dressed in odd woolly hats and jackets with a new age hippie flavour to them.
Right. Who are you?
I'm me.
And what are you not?
A sheep.
Right, and what does a sheep go?
The other kids in the playground look over at them. Marcus turns away from his mum and walks into the playground. She watches him go.
Marcus!
He stops near a group of kids, turns and looks back.
I love you.
Hearing this, some of the other boys look and smile mockingly.
I love you too.
Marcus turns and walks away from the gates. His mum watches him go for a moment, then shrugs awkwardly and leaves. As he passes him, the other kids sneer.
I love you, Marcus.
Love you.
I love you.
He ignores the jibes.
Look at you.
That night, Will walks into a trendy restaurant in town.
While I couldn't accept Christine and John's disturbing offer to become their child's godfather, I did allow them to set me up with Angie, a rather beautiful co-worker of Christine's. They had, however, being them, neglected to tell me one thing.
There's something you don't know about me.
She looks uncertain.
Yeah. Something exciting?
I think so, yes. I have a 3-year-old boy.
She looks for his reaction.
I wanted to throw the napkin on the floor, push over the table and run.
Brilliant. I love kids. Yeah. I like messing about with them, you know, doing kid things. I'd have been disappointed if he didn't have a chance.
Why do you say that?
God knows. Mainly because it sounded smooth and winning.
Because I love kids so much. They're so lovely.
What in God's name are you saying, you idiot? She can't be buying this rubbish.
Angie looks at him surprised and smiles.
But she did buy my rubbish. And for the next few weeks, I was suddenly Will the good guy. Her kid took to me right away, mainly because on our first meeting I took him to the zoo and held him upside down by his ankles. I wish relationships with proper human beings were that easy.
Well, you are brilliant.
And I came to realise that with single mums, particularly the ones who'd been quite badly messed around and eventually abandoned by the father of their children, you became, by comparison, well...
You are a wonderful person.
No, I'm not.
But it was hard work to be wonderful all the time. And eventually, I began to wonder whether Angie was exactly what I was looking for. For instance, one night she was late for the new IMAX movie because the babysitter hadn't turned up.
I'm so sorry.
It's all right. You okay?
Yes.
And there were deeper problems than that. She couldn't stay at my place and she didn't have a DVD or satellite or cable, so we were always stuck watching some TV movie about a kid with leukemia. I was going to have to end it. But having been Will the good guy, I didn't relish going back to my usual role of Will the unreliable, emotionally stunted.
I'm sorry? You're breaking up with me? Oh, you self-centered. I can't believe I have wasted all this time with you. You useless, superficial loser.
After the flashback parade of heartbroken women, Will is sitting in a bar facing Angie.
So look.
Will.
And then... something magical happened.
I'm sorry. I'm not sure this is working out. It's not you. You've been great. It's me. My situation with Louis and his dad. I'm not ready to launch into a relationship with anybody new.
Will looks at her stunned and nods, then starts to smile. He quickly checks himself and assumes a suitably somber expression.
Yeah.
I'm so sorry.
Will nods and manages a rueful smile.
I think I understand.
You're a wonderful, wonderful man, Will.
She drops her tearful gaze.
I'd never watched a woman cry without feeling responsible before. She even wanted me to forgive her. Felt amazing.
Listen, You don't have anything to feel sorry about, really.
So that was the end of Angie, but the beginning of a whole new thing. Single mums. Why hadn't anyone told me about them before? Passionate sex, a lot of ego massage, and a guilt-free parting. And there must be thousands of them, just waiting for a nice guy to sleep with and break up with. Fabulous, sexy, gorgeous single mums.
Marcus and his mum in the kitchen.
Can I have Cocoa Puffs?
No, it's not Sunday.
The crying had started again, and it scared me. Because now it was in the mornings. She'd never done that before.
She reaches up to get a bowl out of a cupboard.
I couldn't figure it out. Nobody was dead. She had a job as a music therapist, which is kind of a teacher for sick kids. So there was enough money for food and everything.
Should I get my own breakfast?
No, I'm doing it. Oh,
she spills the milk on the worktop. Bemused, Marcus sits at the table watching her.
So, you looking forward to school today?
Marcus sits daydreaming in a crowded classroom.
Today,
nothing to do but frown. Rainy days and Mondays always get me down.
He snaps out of his reverie.
Thank you very much, Marcus.
Marcus comes out of school and sees two nerdy boys in the playground. One of them plays with a computer game. Marcus walks down some steps and goes over to them.
Hi, Nikki. Hi, Mark. Are you going to computer club later?
Marcus?
Oi, Madonna! Go and give us a song. You like that, wouldn't you?
Nah, it's Spice Girls or something. Three of them.
Oh, yeah. Oi, Spice Girls!
The boy kicks the ball at them and hits Mark.
You made me lose my football.
Marcus, we don't really want you hanging around with us anymore.
Why not?
Well, it's because of them.
They've got nothing to do with me.
Yes, they do. We never used to have any trouble with them before we started to hang around with you. Now we get it every single day. Besides, everyone thinks you're weird. Only a bit, though.
Oh. Okay.
Sadly, Marcus walks away.
Bye.
The boys go back to the computer game. The picture freezes as the football approaches.
So there you have it.
Then unfreezes as it hits Marcus.
It was all very well deciding that single mums were the future, but the frustrating truth was that I didn't have any of their numbers.
Hi, Dad.
Will backs away from a blonde lady and little girl as the father appears.
Where did they hang out?
Later, Will's in a newsagent's flicking through a magazine when his eye is caught by a poster up on the wall that says SPAT. Goes over to it for a closer look. SPAT stands for Single Parents Alone Together, and they meet on Fridays at 2 p.m. at the Woodbridge Chapel, Haywards Place, EC1. Later, Will walks along a street, talking to himself. He arrives at a door with a SPAT poster on it.
SPAT. This was exciting. A potential goldmine of single mums. I could see the beautiful creatures now, getting roaring drunk, forgetting their troubles, ready to rock and roll.
That was when I was 7 months pregnant. By the time I had the baby, he was in Mallorca with another woman. Not even the one he cheated on me with the first time.
Well, with me, it was the week before the birth. Said I got too fat.
It's Will's turn to talk to the group.
Oh, me. Yes, well, I have a 2-year-old, Ned. He's, got blue eyes and sort of sandy-coloured hair, and he's about 2'3". And his mum left.
Really?
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, obviously it was a very big shock because we were so happy, you know. Sandra's neurology practice was just up and running, and then one day her bags were packed and my best friend was waiting outside in his Ferrari. Yeah. You know the Modena, the one with the supercharged engine where you can actually see the engine through the back window?
You got dumped then?
Yeah, yeah. Yeah.
May I ask, does your ex see Ned at all?
Sorry, I didn't catch your name.
Susie.
Susie.
She doesn't see much of him, no. No.
How does he cope with that?
Well, you know, he's a very good little boy, very brave. They've got amazing resources, don't they? Mm-hmm. Just the other day, I was thinking about my ex, and he came crawling up and put his little pudgy arms around my neck, and he said, "You hang in there, Dad."
God, that's amazing for a two-year-old.
Is it?
Yeah.
Yeah, well, he's very special. Very, very special. Sometimes I think, you know, he's the one taking care of me, teaching me the ways of the world. Oof. Sorry.
Susie, who happens to be blonde and attractive, smiles. One of the women next to Will takes his hand.
My God, what a performance. I was even fooling myself.
Later, the group perform trust exercises by falling back into each other's arms. Will partners Susie and catches her.
Yeah, perfect, thanks.
Trust me?
Of course.
And by the end of the evening, I had a date lined up.
Single parents alone together. Single parents alone together. All for one and one for all.
Problem was, I also had an imaginary two-year-old son.
Will's Audi screeches into a parking space at a shopping centre. He walks into Mothercare World and goes over to babywear and accessories. He walks past some cardboard cut-out babies and finds a shop assistant by a display of baby car seats. Back in the car park, Will treads crisps into the seat and then pours orange juice over it to make it look used. An astonished family watch him. Later, he pulls up outside Susie's house.
The date was a spat picnic in Regent's Park with everyone bringing their kids. Sadly, Ned couldn't be there. His mum had called round and picked him up at the last second.
Oh, what a shame.
Yeah.
I'm sorry.
Okay, you... got it. Yeah.
This is Megan, by the way.
Aha! Hello, Megan. Yeah.
Oh, a friend of mine from Spat isn't feeling so great, so I said that we'd take her kid to the picnic too. Is that all right?
Yeah, more the merrier. Sorry.
Come on, slow coach!
Marcus comes out of the house after Susie, Will and baby Megan.
I hated that spat lot. I mean, Mum's friend Susie was fine, but now there was also that Wally who wanted to get off with her.
Marcus, Will, Marcus.
Hi there.
Marcus looks Will up and down.
Right. Pile in, everyone. Oh, look what a mess Ned made of the car seat.
He grins at Susie and Marcus.
What a shame he can't come.
So, what do you do, Will?
Me? Well, there were already too many lies to keep track of, so I told the truth. Nothing.
Oh, well, before then.
What do you mean, before I did nothing?
Yeah.
I did nothing.
Well, so you've never worked?
Well, I've done the odd day here and there, but, crazy, isn't it?
It's.
They're strolling in the park. Susie's lost for words and shrugs limply.
Oh, God, I was going to have to tell her. No, well, what happened, in fact, was that my dad wrote a song in 1958, and it's quite a famous song, and I basically live off the royalties of that.
You know Michael Jackson? He makes £1 million a minute. That's £60 million an hour.
Well, I don't make £1 million a minute. Nothing like, sadly.
How much, then?
Marcus?
I was beginning to wonder if we were going to be stuck with this weird kid all day.
So what's this song, then? Well, if you can live off it, we must have heard of it.
It's, Santa's Super Sleigh. Oh, God, please don't sing it.
Look who's coming round the bend. It's Santa and his reindeer friends with a ho, ho, ho and a hey, hey, hey. It's Santa's Super Sleigh.
Yeah. I expect people do that all the time.
Oh, no, I think you two are the first.
Sorry. But I don't understand. How does that make you money? Carol singers have to pay you 10%.
Well, they should, yeah. So, how often do you look after Marcus?
Oh, every once in a while. His mum's a little off-colour sometimes.
You call it off-colour. I call it nuts.
Oh, she's not nuts, Marcus. She just needs a weekend taking it easy. Look, we're going to have a nice picnic, and when you get home, she's going to be rested up and ready to go.
Oh, my God. What the hell is that?
My mum's homemade bread.
It's a solid round loaf.
Oh, it looks pretty good.
No, it isn't. It's health.
Marcus sits down on the blanket. Some ducks paddle about on a duck pond. Marcus stands at the edge of the duck pond and struggles to tear bits off his mother's loaf, which he then throws to the ducks. He attempts to break another bit off the loaf, but gives up on it as a bad job. After a moment's consideration, he lifts the loaf with both hands and hurls the whole thing into the duck pond. He stands rigidly at the edge of the pond, looking out across it. Will and Susie.
You miss him, don't you?
Will turns to her, baffled.
Oh.
Susie smiles at him.
Oh, Ned. Yeah. Yeah, very much. You know, love this.
I think I killed a duck.
In the pond, a dead duck floats upside down with its feet in the air.
I was only trying to feed it.
What's that floating in the water next to it? Is that your mum's bread? Bloody hell, Marcus, you didn't have to throw the whole loaf. That would have killed me.
Hey, you're the one who was throwing bloody great loaves at the ducks.
Yeah, he was, but I've stopped him now. You know, boys will be boys and all that.
So he killed it?
Oh, no, no, no. Sorry, I misunderstood. The duck was dead already. He was throwing bread to try and sink the body because Megan here was getting upset.
The barkeeper eyes baby Megan in her pushchair.
Marcus wouldn't kill a duck. What do you mean, Marcus?
No, I love ducks. They're my second favourite animal, after dolphins. They can kill sharks with their noses.
Everyone looks at Marcus.
I'll have to wade in and get it.
Listen, I hope it's not some sort of epidemic.
The park keeper leaves.
I think we beat the rat there, mate.
Will raises his hand to high-five. Marcus doesn't respond. Unimpressed, Susie walks off and Will follows her. Marcus turns and sees his mother standing on the other side of the duck pond, smiling and waving. He blinks and the apparition vanishes. He stares baffled across the pond.
That day, the dead duck day, was when it all began. That bloke Will just followed us in, and I didn't tell him not to. Afterwards, I realised that there was no way I could have been nervous just then, because just then I didn't know there was anything to be nervous about. But then I put the key in the lock, opened the door.
Are you decent?
And a new part of my life started. Bang!
Marcus's mum, Fiona, lies sprawled on the sofa, a glass and an open bottle of pills on the table next to her.
We'll call an ambulance.
Marcus, where's the phone? Where's the phone, mate?
An ambulance speeds along London's streets, its lights flashing. It turns a sharp left-hand corner and drives down onto the embankment. Will's Audi following close behind. Marcus sits in the car's passenger seat and Will's driving.
It was horrible. Horrible. But driving fast behind the ambulance was fantastic.
Oh, she's conscious. She's okay in the ambulance. She was asking after you, Marcus.
That's nice of her.
Hey, listen, you know this has nothing to do with you, don't you?
He looks at her.
I mean, you're not the reason that she... You're not the reason that she's here. That right, Will?
Will's taken by surprise.
Yeah, that's right.
I'll go get you some water.
I can get that.
Oh, no, you're okay.
Susie walks off. Will looks uncomfortably at baby Megan, who stares back impassively at him. Will glances at Marcus and tries to think of something to say.
So your mum's going to be okay?
Yeah, I suppose. It's not the point, though, is it?
All right, you mean you're afraid she might try again?
Just shut up, all right?
Susie returns with a cup of water.
There you go, warm and flat.
Are you with Fiona Brewer?
Yes, I'm her friend Susie. This is Marcus. And Will.
Well, she's recovering well, but we're going to keep her overnight. So I'm going to get a consent form from Miss Brewer so the boy can stay with you two tonight.
Right.
The nurse leaves them.
So, my place or yours? Sorry.
They share an awkward moment. It's dark as Will's car pulls up outside Susie's house. He, Susie, Marcus and Megan get out of the car and unload the picnic things.
Okay. Well, I should get back to Ned, I think.
Yeah, I'll take that.
All right. Well, all in all, this has been very interesting.
Fuck off.
But I wouldn't want to do it every night.
See you soon.
The thing is, a person's life is like a TV show. I was the star of The Will Show. And The Will Show wasn't an ensemble drama. Guests came and went, but I was the regular. It came down to me, me alone. If Marcus's mum couldn't manage her own show, if her ratings were falling, it was sad, but that was her problem. Ultimately, The whole single mum plotline was a bit complicated for me.
Will drives off into the night.
There's nothing I could say to make you try to feel okay.
The next morning, Marcus puts a vase of flowers on the table in the open-plan flat. Then he tidies some books on a desk and some ornaments on a shelf. He spots something on the desk. It's an envelope, and on it is written Marcus. Slowly he walks away from the desk and sits down at the table. He opens the envelope, takes a letter out and reads it.
I'd be a better person on the other side, I'm sure.
A taxi pulls up outside the house. Marcus looks out of the window at it. His mum and Susie get out of the cab. He watches as Susie pays the cab driver. Then he turns away from the window and brushes his hair with his fingers. He takes a deep breath. His mum walks apprehensively into the kitchen, closely followed by Susie. Fiona smiles at Marcus and he stares uncertainly back at her. Susie says something to him, then gives Fiona a hug. Marcus shuffles awkwardly. Susie leaves them alone, and mother and son study each other anxiously.
I've got the letter. Thanks.
Fiona stands by the worktop in the kitchen.
Oh, my God. I'd forgotten.
You forgot? You forgot a suicide letter?
Well, I didn't think I'd have to remember it, did I?
She looks over to Marcus, who's sitting at the table, then back to the worktop.
Did you read the part where I said I'd always love you?
It's a bit hard for you to love me when you're dead, isn't it?
I'm sorry.
She looks back over to him. Marcus looks away moodily. Fiona walks over to Marcus.
I can understand why you're angry, Marcus.
She sits down at the table.
But...
and shrugs.
I don't feel the same as I did yesterday, if that's any help.
What? It's all just gone away? All that?
No, but... at the moment, I feel better.
Mum's no good to me. I can see you feel better at the moment. You just put the kettle on. But what happens when you finish your tea? What happens when I go back to school? I can't be here to watch you all the time.
I know.
She puts her hand on his arm.
Look after each other. The two of us.
Suddenly I realised. Two people isn't enough. You need a backup. If you're only two people... and someone drops off the edge, then you're on your own. Two isn't a large enough number. You need three at least.
Three what?
He looks up.
Nothing. But I'd had a great idea.
The important thing in island living is to be your own activities director. And I find the key is to think of a day as units of time, each unit consisting of no more than 30 minutes. Full hours can be a little bit intimidating, and most activities take about half an hour. Taking a bath, one unit. Watching Countdown.
Okay,
One unit. Web-based research.
An adult site.
Two units. Exercising.
He plays snooker.
Three units. Having my hair carefully dishevelled. Four units. It's amazing how the day fills up. And I often wonder, to be absolutely honest, if I'd ever really have time for a job.
He gets a haircut.
How do people cram them in?
He picks up his phone as the stylist works.
Yeah, we'll hear.
It's Marcus.
Pardon?
It's Marcus.
Marcus? I'm Marcus. Hi. How'd you, get my number?
From Susie. I thought you'd like to take me out for the day on Saturday.
And why did you think that, Marcus?
Susie said we hit it off.
Did she?
Yeah. And you said see you soon.
Said what?
See you soon. The night you dropped us off, remember? You said see you soon.
Well, okay, this is soon, all right, Marcus. Thing is, mate, my life's really kind of hectic just at the moment, so...
Why? I thought you did nothing.
Yeah, well, I've got Ned and stuff to look after. Matter of fact, I'm actually on the way to play school just at the moment.
What's that noise?
That's a lawnmower. So, you know, just time-wise, it's not, it's not... Tell you what, just hold the line one sec.
But then I thought, why not? Why shouldn't I take the poor little sod out for a meal? I could be Uncle Will, cool Uncle Will, king of the kids.
OK, Marcus, you're on.
I'll come if you take my mum too. She hasn't got any money, so either we'll have to go somewhere cheap or you'll have to treat us.
Well, listen, don't beat about the bush, Marcus.
Why should I? We're poor, you're rich, you pay. You can bring your little boy if you like. I don't mind.
That's really big of you.
Fine, come round at 12:30 or something. Remember where we live. Flat 2, 31 Cresfield Road, Islington, London, N1, 2SF.
England, the world, the universe.
Yeah.
Marcus?
That Saturday, Will, Marcus and Fiona sit at a table in a swish restaurant.
So, Fiona, how are you?
She looks at him quizzically.
How are you feeling?
Oh, my stomach's fine. Yeah.
Great. Great.
I must still be a bit balmy, though. This kind of thing doesn't go away overnight, does it?
No. No. No.
If Mum was going to get Will to marry her, she'd have to quit making jokes like that. At least she looked good. I made her put on that nice hairy jumper and those earrings she got sent from a friend that went to Zimbabwe.
The kid seemed to think this was some kind of date. As for his mum, she was clearly insane and appeared to be wearing some kind of Yeti costume. This had better be a quick one. We were definitely not ordering starters.
I'll start with the artichoke, please. Then I'll have a mushroom omelette with fries and a Coke.
I'll have the vegetable platter.
We're vegetarians.
I'd never have guessed. Steak sandwich, please, mate.
Fiona glares at Will disapprovingly, then hands her menu to the waiter.
This was going really well. I wondered if we were going to move into Will's place, or move into someplace new.
Later, they're at Fiona and Marcus's flat.
But he sang a good song. I heard he had a style.
I knew, of course, that the song couldn't last forever, that I'd soon be at home, tucked up in bed. I knew it, but I couldn't feel it.
Marcus joins in with the song.
He was this young boy.
I must have been insane. All I'd wanted was a date with Susie, and this was my punishment.
Strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life.
The worst part was when they closed their eyes.
Marcus stands by Fiona at the piano, and they both close their eyes as they sing along.
Come and sing with us, Will.
You know what? I should really get going. Thanks.
That's the problem with charity. You have to mean things. You have to mean things to help people. Like the time I volunteered to help out at a soup kitchen and very nearly made it. Or the time I worked the phones at Amnesty International.
Did you know, for instance, in Burma you get 7 years in prison for telling jokes? Next time you laugh, I want you to think of Pa Pa Lay, the Burmese stand-up comedian.
We're at a crucial stage in our struggle for human rights in Burma, which have been grossly abused by the ruling military junta.
We need your support more than ever. Together we can make a difference to
perfection. Are you kidding? What's your boyfriend say about that? Wait a minute. You're saying you haven't got a boyfriend? Talk about human rights violations.
Will gives the thumbs up to a sincere colleague who returns the gesture.
Is that right? You're in the bath now?
The colleague frowns.
You have to mean things to help people. Fiona meant killing me softly. Killing me softly meant something to her. And look where she ended up.
Will leaves his flat and walks down the street.
Me? I didn't mean anything. About anything, to anyone. And I knew that guaranteed me a long, depression-free life.
Marcus, in his woolly hat and coat, slips out from behind a wall and follows after Will. Will walks along a narrow street, Marcus shadowing him every step of the way. Later, Will pushes a trolley around a supermarket. Again, Marcus is close behind. As Will puts his groceries in a bag, Marcus spies on him from an aisle nearby.
All the same, over the next few days, I did have a strange feeling, like a presence lurking at the back of my mind. And I didn't like it.
Will is in a delicatessen by the window. He sees Marcus walking along the street outside and ducks down, concealing himself. Later, Will opens his flat door to Marcus.
You don't have a kid, do you?
What?
You don't have a kid, do you?
Of course I've got a kid. What are you on about?
No, you don't. I've been watching you and you don't have a kid.
Will looks up, astonished.
Well, what is it to you anyway?
Nothing. Except you've been lying to me, my mum, and my mum's friend.
Marcus steps forward.
Can I come in?
No.
Why?
Because I'm busy.
What are you doing?
I'm watching TV.
I can watch it with you if you like.
Well, that's very nice of you, Marcus, but I usually manage on my own, thanks.
Marcus doesn't move. Will stares at him.
Well, don't you have homework to do or something?
Yeah. Do you want to help me?
No, that's not what I meant. I meant, why don't you go home and do your homework?
I'll do your deal. I won't tell anyone you don't have a kid, if you go out with my mum.
Incredulous, Will looks around and then leans on the doorframe. He smiles wryly.
Why would you want your mum to go out with someone like me?
I don't think you're too bad. I mean, told lies, but apart from that, you seem okay. And she's sad. I think she'd like a boyfriend.
Well, you know, I can't just go out with someone because you want me to, Marcus. I would actually have to like the person as well.
What's wrong with her?
Well, there's nothing wrong with her. That's just the system. That's how it... I'm not talking about this with you. Just go.
Okay, but I'll be back.
Ooh, I'm really scared.
That's the best I could come up with. Ooh, I'm scared. But as a matter of fact, I was.
The street outside shimmers as if in an intense heat, and Marcus materialises in it. He walks slowly along towards Will's flat. Inside his flat, Will lies on a sofa reading a magazine. Marcus approaches the door and reaches out for the doorbell. Will looks up, then turns up the stereo. Outside, Marcus reaches for the bell again. He smiles impishly. Unable to stand it any longer, Will gets up off the sofa. He opens the door and finds Marcus on the step, finger poised over the bell. Marcus steps inside and walks up to Will's first floor flat. Will shuts the door. Later, they watch Countdown on TV.
Okay, well, that's it. So, Tim, goodbye. Jill, goodbye. Carol, goodbye.
Goodbye.
And from me, arrivederci. Bye-bye.
Will and Marcus sit side by side on the sofa. Will glances over at Marcus, then Marcus looks over at him.
Thanks. See ya.
Marcus offers his hand. Will takes it and they shake. Marcus picks up his school bag and leaves. Uncertainly, Will watches him go. Marcus walks off down the street. The next day, Will is sitting alone in his flat watching Countdown.
Hello, everybody. Welcome to another game of Countdown. Now, you remember yesterday, Carol, I revealed to a grateful nation the fact that our guest, Tom O'Connell, yeah.
Will gets up off the sofa and goes to the front door. He opens it to Marcus, who walks straight inside.
Is that right? Have I got it right?
Yeah, that's right. Another term for hoster.
Yes, sir. Oh. Named after Heinrich Christian Funk, who also invented disco dancing.
Will looks sharply over at the laughing Marcus.
I've got all his audios.
The Countdown logo spins on the TV. Another day and Marcus approaches Will's door. Before Marcus can press the doorbell, Will opens the door for him and he goes inside. Once again, Countdown is on the television. A montage of shots showing Will and Marcus watching the show over a number of days, their clothes changing with each day. As time goes by, Marcus eats crisps with Will, strums his guitar, and uses a pair of telescopic novelty tongs to fish a peanut out of a bowl. Will laughs. Marcus and Fiona come out of their flat.
Mum, did you always know I was going to be a vegetarian?
Yeah, of course I did. We just decided on the spur of the moment because we'd run out of sausages.
Did you ask me if I wanted to be a vegetarian?
What, when you were born? No, I do all the cooking, and I don't want to cook meat, so you have to eat what I eat.
They walk on down the street.
You don't let me go to McDonald's either.
Is this premature teenage rebellion? Look, I can't stop you from going to McDonald's. I'd just be disappointed if you did.
Marcus glances up at his mother, then looks down thoughtfully.
Don't worry, Mum. I won't go to McDonald's.
Will and Marcus watch Xena, warrior princess.
After a few visits, Will seemed to think he had to ask me serious questions, but I knew he really wanted to watch Xena, warrior princess.
So, how's it going at home, then?
You mean my mum?
Yeah.
She's right, thanks.
Will nods and glances back at the action on television.
I mean, you know, she's...
Yeah, I know. No, nothing like that.
Without taking his eyes off the screen, Will nods thoughtfully.
That still bother you, then?
Does it bother me?
A flashback to Dead Duck Day.
every single day. That's why I come here instead of going home. But when I think about it...
Will considers for a moment.
I didn't know why it swore like that, but it made me feel better. It made me feel like I wasn't being pathetic to get so scared.
Marcus walks home.
I wouldn't make the mistake of asking about Fiona again. Marcus was clearly really screwed up about it, and unfortunately, I couldn't think of anything to say that would be of the smallest value. Next time, he could talk to Susie or a counsellor, or anybody capable of something more than an obscenity.
Well, it can't be.
November the sodding 19th, 6 weeks before Christmas, and already they were playing the bloody thing.
Dad?
As Will wheels his trolley through the drinks aisle of the supermarket, he sees his father putting a bottle of scotch in a trolley. The apparition vanishes.
A bit sad, really. You know, he wrote one crap song that turned out to be a massive hit and then spent the rest of his life trying to write a better one.
Do you ever want to write songs like him? Is that what the guitar's for?
Nah.
So that's just there to look cool?
Yeah.
Will smokes as they watch Countdown.
I like Santa Super Sleigh.
Will blips the TV remote at Marcus and he shuts up.
Oi, Madonna, come in!
The other boys chase him and throw sweets at him.
On Pet Rescue Today, the clever stoat keeps everyone on their toes in Somerset.
The Pet Rescue opening titles are Fluffy Duckling and Two Kittens. Will isn't watching. He ambles around the room reading the newspaper. He picks the remote up off the coffee table to change channels. He stops when he hears the doorbell. He walks down the stairs and opens the front door. As he does so, Marcus bursts in along with a hail of sweets. Three boys are outside.
Oi! Oi! What are you doing?
Who are you?
Who am I? Bugger off, that's who I am. Come on, piss off!
The boys run off.
So who were they then?
Who?
What do you mean, who? The ones trying to embed sweets into your skull?
Oh, them. Just a couple of older kids. Started following me after school.
Was it this happen often?
I never touched sweets before. I only just thought that one.
I'm not talking about the sweets. I'm talking about kids trying to kill you.
Oh, yeah. They give me a hard time. You know, about my hair and my clothes and singing and stuff.
And what? And singing?
Oh, sometimes I sing aloud without noticing.
Marcus sits on the sofa.
That's not a brilliant idea, is it?
I said I did it without noticing, didn't I? It just happens. I'm not going to do it on purpose, am I? I'm not stupid, you know.
Well, my advice is just, you know, keep out of people's way. Try to make yourself invisible.
How am I supposed to be invisible? Is one machine's in your kitchen, an invisible machine? I don't think so.
Will's stumped.
I just try not to think of it, that's all.
Will looks away.
It happens and I wish it didn't, but that's life, isn't it?
Will looks sympathetically at Marcus.
Nothing I can do about it.
Marcus takes a bite of his toast and jam.
No.
Will snatches the toast away.
There is something we can do about it, Marcus.
Will wags his finger.
Coming with me.
I was worried Will was going to take me to the headmistress's office. But instead he took me shopping.
I don't kill it.
Okay, we're starting with your feet, Marcus. Can't make you invisible, but I can make you blend in with the crowd.
In a shoe shop.
I don't know how to tie them. Got these funny strappy things.
Yeah, it's called Velcro. It's a revolutionary new technology.
Marcus struggles with the straps.
It's not hard.
Will has a go at the straps.
All right, wait a minute. It is a bit hard.
Everything all right?
Yeah, thanks. Yeah.
He's pretty trendy, your old man, isn't he?
The blonde shop assistant's comment shocks Will and makes Marcus snigger.
Hey, you think you look cool, don't you?
Dunno. Do you think I look cool?
Will nods.
Yeah, Marcus. I think you look cool.
Yeah.
That's it, you got the walk. That's really cool.
They lollop around the shop.
Brilliant. High five.
Marcus doesn't.
I was suddenly hit by an extraordinary rush of well-being. So this is what people meant by a natural high. And it only cost 60 quid. I had made an unhappy boy temporarily happy. And there wasn't anything in it for me at all.
Will pays for the trainers with a credit card. Later, Marcus stands snivelling in his socks on the doorstep of his flat in the pouring rain. His mum opens the door to him.
Marcus! What happened to your shoes?
They stole them.
Marcus goes into the flat. Fiona, in an Amnesty International t-shirt, dries him off with a towel. She sighs and shrugs in exasperation.
Why would anyone want to steal your shoes?
I could see I was going to have to tell the truth. But the problem was, the truth was going to lead to a lot more questions.
They were nice ones.
They were just ordinary brown lace-ups.
No, they weren't. They were cool new trainers.
Where did you get cool new trainers?
Yeah, she had loads more questions.
Will bought them for me.
Will? What, the guy who took us to lunch?
Yeah, he's sort of become my friend.
He's sort of become your friend?
She kept repeating the last thing I said, except she shouted it.
I go around his place after school.
You go around his place after school?
Well, you see, he doesn't really have a kid.
He doesn't really have a kid?
Can I play computer games now?
Where does he live?
He's not there at the moment. He's out to dinner.
Will sits with...
Christine had asked me out to dinner for one of her pep talks.
You will end up childless and alone.
Well, fingers crossed, yeah.
Fiona leads Marcus into the restaurant.
And you must have a lot of courage.
Why is that, Christine?
Well, most people need something in their lives to keep them afloat, and you have absolutely nothing. Doesn't that scare you?
The waitress.
Do you know what you want?
Fiona and Marcus approach.
Oh. Yes, I do. I have this
know
steak.
What the hell are these little after-school tea parties about?
Hi. Sorry? What did you say?
Well, I was just wondering why a single, childless man would want to hang out with a 12-year-old boy every day.
Wait a minute. You didn't tell your mum that you've been coming round?
I think I forgot.
Tell me what? What are you doing with my son?
Wait a minute. What exactly are you suggesting here?
Oh, well, I'm not suggesting anything.
Well, I think you are. I think you were suggesting that I've been... interfering with your son.
I'm simply asking you why you entertain 12-year-olds in your flat.
Oh my God.
What do you have to say for yourself?
Will's flabbergasted.
Well?
Don't well me. Don't well me about him. He comes around uninvited every night of the week. And do you know why? Because you haven't got a clue. You're sending him out there like a lamb to the slaughter. He's been taken to pieces every day of the week, you daft hippie.
I think you're being a bit melodramatic. Marcus is doing
fine. It was strange. Will had it right. Mum didn't. It was supposed to be the other way around.
Maybe you haven't had very much contact with kids before.
Well, I used to be a bloody kid. I used to go to a bloody school, and I know the difference between kids who can't settle down and kids who are just plain miserable. Look at him. Don't accuse me of being melodramatic. This coming from a woman who tried to...
Oh, cowabunga!
Will stares at Marcus.
What's the matter with you?
Nothing. Just felt like a shout.
What a family.
Will, you're disturbing the other customers.
Oh, it's fine. I'm sorry. I'm done.
Okay, so you're not done.
What? No, I'm not. No, I'm not. Listen, don't worry about it. I will not open the door to Marcus again, okay? I'll be glad to be rid of the pair of you, frankly. Go on, bugger off.
Will turns to the waitress.
Sorry.
Fiona stares at Will, then sits down heavily in a seat at the table, still staring at him. Will looks around, bemused.
So that's it, is it? You're just out of his life, like that?
Excuse me?
Well, let's say you're right and I'm wrong. Let's say there's this whole world going on for Marcus that I don't understand and somehow, miraculously, you do. Well, what are you going to do about it?
I'm not going to do anything. He's none of my business.
Oh, God, you're a selfish...
He always puts himself first.
But I'm on my own. It's just me. I'm not putting myself first because... there's nobody else.
Yes, yes, there is. There's Marcus. You're involved now. He keeps coming around your house. I understand you've come into his life for a reason, and you can't just shut him out. You can't shut life out. No man is an island.
She's right, you know.
Yeah, she is.
No, she's not. She's wrong. Some men are islands. I'm a bloody island. I'm bloody Ibiza.
Fiona frowns.
What are you talking about?
Do you want to come over for Christmas?
Will looks sharply at Marcus, then Fiona.
No, Marcus, I do not want to come over Christmas. I do not want to spend Christmas with Miss Granola Suicide and her spawn. I'd always thought what you did with Christmas was sort of a statement about where you stood in life. I was going to spend this Christmas the way I usually did. Watching videos and getting drunk.
He goes to the horror section of a video store. Later, he watches Frankenstein on the video.
Before you came, I was all alone. It is bad to be alone.
Alone. Bad. Friend. Good. Friend. Good.
Now come here.
The good news was it wasn't just me and Fiona and Marcus. The bad news was, well...
So, you're Marcus's dad.
Yeah, guess so. And this is my girlfriend, Lindsay.
They're middle-aged hippies.
And Lindsay's mum?
In her 60s, with grey hair and pearls.
Hi there.
Will waves to her. A bit later, they're opening presents. Marcus undoes a parcel and finds it contains a pair of thick socks.
Thanks, Dad.
That's okay.
I had to hand it to the kid. He could be enthusiastic about some truly crap present.
Wow, it's tambourine. Thanks, Mum. Isn't that cool, Will?
Yeah, that'll come in handy.
I saw it at the shop and I thought, this will be perfect. Thought maybe you could perform at that school concert. You know, get a pop group together, make some friends.
Maybe, Mum.
Fiona leans towards him.
When you sing, it brings sunshine and happiness into my heart.
Thanks, Mum.
Everyone shifts awkwardly at Fiona's revelation.
And, this one's from me.
Will hands Marcus a small gift-wrapped package. He opens it and finds a CD inside.
Oh, brilliant! What is it?
It's a CD, Marcus. By, Mr. Cal. They're cool. You'll like them.
What kind of music is Mr. Cal?
It's sort of, world music.
Shake your ass.
Slash rap type thing.
Shake your ass? Is he Moroccan?
I'm afraid we haven't got a CD player.
It's great anyway, though.
No, I know you haven't got a CD player, so I got you one of them as well.
What a lucky boy.
He unwraps it.
Look, Mum. Open yours, Will.
All right, thanks a lot.
He unwraps his present. It's a book, The Single Parent's Handbook.
Marcus, is this a joke?
Yes.
It's not bad.
Hi, sorry, I'm dead late. Have I missed it?
Not at all, come on in.
Hey, Merry Christmas.
Merry Christmas.
Hey.
Will faces Susie.
Long time no see.
She regards him coldly.
Where's Megan?
At her dad's. Where's Ned? At his mum's for Christmas.
Will's lost for words. Fiona glances around.
Well, yeah. No, I should probably go, shouldn't I?
You could go pose as Santa.
Are you a professional Santa? How lovely.
Right, that's it. I'm off. Thank you very much. It was great.
Susie has every right to express her anger, Will.
Yes, and she's expressed it. And now I have a right to bugger off. So, thanks a lot. Bye.
Wait! He's my friend. I invited him. I should be able to tell him when to go home.
I haven't told Will to go, Marcus. Susie's angry with him, as she has every right to be, and she's telling him so.
She's right, Marcus. Just leave it, okay?
All he did was make up a kid for a couple of weeks. God, that's nothing. So what? Who cares? Kids at school do worse than that every day.
Yeah, the point is, Marcus, Will left school a long time ago. He should have grown out of making people up by now.
That's for sure.
It's not fair to gang up on him. He's been a lot better behaved since then. He bought me trainers. He lets me go around his house, even if he doesn't want me to. And he knows what kids need.
What? Expensive footwear and obscene music. Look, if there's something you really need, then we can talk about it.
No, we can't, because it's not really a discussion. It's an argument, and you always win. Why don't you just tell me what to do?
Because I want you to think for yourself.
Okay, I'm thinking for myself, and I want Will to stay. I mean, it's not like he's the only one who ever did anything wrong. You remember how we met Will? You remember why? Because you tried to...
It's because you threw a bloody great loaf of bread at a duck's head and killed it, basically.
Excuse me, what's this about duck?
Are we having duck? Delicious.
Of course, we were not having duck. Instead, we had nut loaf with parsnip gravy.
They sit at the dinner table.
As I sat there, I had a strange feeling. I was enjoying myself. I'd never really enjoyed Christmas before. My mother used to make me sing Santa's Super Sleigh in front of a collection of inebriated uncles and aunts, just to get at my dad, I think. But Christmas at Marcus's, well, I'm ashamed to say it gave me a warm, fuzzy feeling. And I held that feeling directly responsible for the strange events that followed.
Marcus runs into a girl on the stairs at school.
First of all, Marcus got a crush on the girl.
Hello. Piss off.
Will's at a dinner party.
And then, even stranger, so did I. It was all Marcus's fault, really, because once you open your door to one person, anyone can come in. On New Year's Eve, I met Rachel. She was interesting and smart and attractive. And for about 5 minutes, I had her convinced that I was too.
Things like, well, physical events, yeah. You,
okay.
In television.
Am I in television?
Mm-hmm.
No. No, no, everyone else is in television. Yeah. I watch television.
Right, so you're more in front of it than in it.
In it, yeah.
Yeah. Inside it.
It was torture. For 5 minutes, I realised what life would be like if I were in any way interesting. If I had anything to say for myself, if I did anything. But I didn't do anything. And in about 30 seconds, she'd know, and she'd be gone like a shot.
So, what do you do?
Will thinks.
Well, I'm sort of, taking a bit of time off at the moment.
Sounds good, yeah.
Yeah.
Time off from what?
Well, to be absolutely honest, time off from... time off. In fact, the interesting thing about me is I don't actually do anything.
Rachel, a brunette, shakes her head.
You don't do anything?
Actually, no.
He nods and raises his eyebrows.
Nothing?
Nope.
Wow. That's,
Now, Rachel, darling.
Yeah?
East Coast or West Coast rap?
Oh, God, I have absolutely...
There. She was gone. There was no more to say.
All rap music sounds exactly the same to me.
Or was
that? It does.
I tell you what, I know a 12-year-old would kill you for saying that.
Really?
Yeah.
So do I come to that.
Are you?
Yeah. What's yours called?
Mine?
Mm-hmm.
Everybody... he's called Marcus.
Mine's Ali. Alistair.
And there it was. It wasn't a lie. It was 100% her assumption. Well, 50% at the very least.
They chat away happily together.
I was in fantasy land again. But this time it was different. Spat was for fun. This was serious. I acted in self-defense.
After eating, the guests stand around chatting. Will walks up some stairs and sees Rachel talking to a couple of people.
We arranged to get our lads together, which means we arranged for us to get together. Single parents, alone together.
Rachel toasts the new year, then turns to talk to Will.
I was in deep trouble.
They kiss.
And there was only one person who could help me out.
Marcus bops along a school corridor, listening and singing along to the CD on his portable CD player. The girl he has a crush on walks along a little way ahead of him.
Some of us are working with it. Shake your ass. Shake your ass!
Show me what you're working with.
Oi, Titch! What did you just say to me? You heard me, you squitty little shitty snot-nosed bastard.
Sorry. I was singing along to this song by Mystical. It's a rap.
You like rap?
A little. It's by black people, mostly. And they're pretty angry most of the time. Sometimes they just want to have sex.
Two boys with a girl snigger.
Are you taking the piss? Because if you are, you're going to get a slap.
I'm not taking the piss. I don't even know how to take the piss.
What's your name?
Marcus.
The girl looks him up and down.
I'm Ellie.
Hi, Ellie. Nice to meet you.
Not so fast. I'm not ready for physical contact. Next thing you know, we'll be having sex. How will that get us? You stop telling strangers to shake their ass.
She turns and walks away.
Okay, Ellie. See ya.
Shake your... Watch yourself. Shake your...
Will's at Marcus's front door. Marcus opens the door.
Hello, mate. Listen, I need your help.
Later, they're at the zoo together.
Why did you tell this lady I was your son?
No, I didn't tell her. I told you, she just got the wrong end of the stick.
So just tell her she got the wrong end of the stick?
No, can't do that.
Why not?
Oh, look, we're really going round in circles here. Just accept the facts, OK? You're my son.
I'll tell her if you like. I don't mind.
Oh, that's very kind of you, Marcus, but no.
Why not?
Because she's got this rare disease, and if she believes something that's not right, then you tell her the truth, her brain will boil in her head and she'll die, OK?
Marcus shakes his head.
Look, I'm
I'm really interested in this woman.
What do you mean, interested? What's so interesting about her?
OK, Marcus, here. Here's my last scrap of dignity. Enjoy it. I want to go out with her, OK? I'd like her to be my girlfriend. There, I've said it.
Oh, brilliant. Why don't you just say that?
I don't know. I was embarrassed or something, because this is a bit new for me. You know, I only just met her. Her name's Rachel, and she's sort of...
There's this girl at school, Ellie. And I kind of want her to be my girlfriend. Well, I'm not exactly sure. I've been meaning to ask you. What's the difference between a girl who's your friend and a girlfriend?
Well, OK, I don't know. Do you want to touch her?
Is that so important?
Well, yeah, Marcus, you've heard about sex, right? It's kind of a big deal.
I know. I'm not stupid. I just can't believe there's nothing more to it. I mean, like, I want to be with her more. I want to be with her all the time. And I want to tell her things that I don't even tell you or Mum. And I don't want to have another boyfriend. I suppose if I could have all those things, I wouldn't really mind if I touched her or not.
Well, you'll learn, Marcus. You won't feel like that forever.
Another day, they arrive outside Rachel's front door.
OK, how do I look?
Good. How do I look?
Will looks him up and down.
Just be as normal as you can, OK?
Good advice for Marcus.
Come in.
And I wish I could have followed it.
God, I'm sorry, it's such a mess around here. That's where I work here.
She's an artist.
My mouth was dry, my palms were sweating. I didn't know what the hell was happening to me.
Managed to tidy up.
All I could do was stand there, grinning like an idiot.
Should we just go upstairs?
Sure. OK.
Come.
They go to Ali's room.
Ali? Marcus? Ali?
Ali glares at him.
You're in my year. At school.
Oh, really? Yeah, I think I've seen you around.
Great. Then you guys are going to have a lot to talk about.
Will, this is Ali. Ali, this is Will.
All right.
All right.
Ali looks away.
So, do you guys want to hang up here for a while?
Yeah, sounds good, right?
Yeah, okay.
For a moment, I loved him.
Great.
Really loved him.
You can show him your new computer games.
Good.
Great, let's...
Okay, catch you later.
Lead him to it.
Yeah.
Will and Rachel go out. She shuts the door behind them. Marcus turns to Ali, smiles and raises his eyebrows. Ali glares back at him, bristling with hostility.
I tell you, if your dad goes out with my mum, then you're dead. Really dead.
Oh, don't worry. He's all right.
I don't care if he's all right. I don't want him going with my mum. So I don't want to see him or you around here ever again, OK?
Well, I'm not really sure it's up to me.
Well, it better be. Or you're going to die.
I was beginning to get the feeling that maybe this kid, Ali, was a serial killer.
Can I have a go on your computer? What games you got?
Are you listening to me?
Yeah, it's just that I can't really do much at the moment, can I? I mean, Will... That's my dad. Well, he likes your mum, and I think she's keen on him.
She's not keen on him! She's only keen on me!
Frank and Ernest.
One of the amazing things about Rachel was that I wanted to kiss her every time she was talking about something interesting, which was all the time. It was sexy. It was weird.
I use Bristol boards, India ink, and, am I boring you?
No. What?
Nothing, it's just you look like Marcus just then.
Ah, did I?
Yeah, I think it's sweet how much he seems to take after you and the way he dresses like you as well.
Ah, I don't think I'd dress like Marcus, really.
Marcus?
Will runs down the street after Marcus.
Oi, hang on. Come on, we're going back.
He's off his head.
No, he's not.
He said he'd cut me up into little pieces and hide me under the floorboards.
He did?
No, but I'm sure he's capable of it.
It'll be different. You'll like it, I promise.
Marcus, Ali has something to say to you.
Ali hangs his head. Marcus smiles.
Sorry, Marcus. I didn't mean to say those things.
That's okay, Ali.
Ali finds all this very difficult.
Yeah, well, so does Marcus.
Will hugs Marcus.
You know, having divorced parents and not knowing how to feel about new people.
Oh, yes, absolutely. absolutely the way I feel.
Ali didn't get along with the last bloke.
He was a liar!
All right, darling, he wasn't 100% good news. And I'm not, saying that you and I are...
Oh, it's okay. He fancies you. He told me.
Ah, thanks a lot, mate. Cheers, mate.
Will playfully cuffs the back of Marcus's hand.
Don't look so worried, sweetheart.
Marcus and Ellie at school.
Ellie!
Marcus, what, are you stalking me?
Huh?
Oh, too bad. Made me feel like celebrity.
Yeah, but I didn't know that.
Ellie puts her arm around Marcus.
All I'm saying is, you know, watch out. It just looks a bit more like owner and pet than boyfriend and girlfriend.
At least I'm honest.
What does that mean?
It's just that you and Rachel...
What does it mean?
I don't know. I just think there's a problem with you and Rachel. I mean, like, you want to be with her, but she thinks you have a son. And you don't. I mean, like, if you're going to be with someone, shouldn't you tell them things like that?
Will chokes his cue.
No.
I mean, you know, like, the truth.
Will's amazed.
What's wrong with you? But later that night, when I was on my own, I remembered the deal Marcus was prepared to strike. Yes, I wanted to touch Rachel. But at this moment, if I had the choice, I'd settle for the less and the more that Marcus wanted. Was I turning into Marcus? Would he be buying me shoes soon?
In a Chinese restaurant.
So I took his advice and told Rachel the truth. Or very nearly the truth. That I wasn't Marcus's natural father.
Oh?
And that is not natural seaweed.
The problem was, once I told the truth, I knew there'd be a lot more questions.
I'm a bit thick here, but if you're not Marcus's natural father and you don't live with him, then how is he, you know, your son?
Oh, yeah, I see. It must look very confusing from the outside.
Well, tell me how it is on the inside.
It's just one of those long, boring stories. Look, do you want to move on to wine? You want some Chinese rice wine, miss? You would like to try, I suspect, the... Anang Paneng. Yeah?
No.
Will briskly closes the menu.
Anyway, tell me about your relationship with Ali. Is that as complicated as mine and Marcus's?
No, I slept with his father and then 9 months later I gave birth. Pretty straightforward.
Yeah. I envy you that.
Yeah, I'm really sorry to harp on about this, but I haven't got it all worked out yet. You are Marcus's stepfather, but you don't live with him or with his mother.
Will takes a breath.
No, you see,
He plays for time by eating a piece of bread. Rachel looks at him, then down at the table, a wave of disappointment washing over her face. Will senses her changing mood.
Look, I never said he was my son. Did I? The words, I have a son called Marcus, never escaped my lips. What you chose to believe.
Yeah, right. It's me that's the fantasist. I wanted to believe that you had a son, so I let my imagination run riot.
Well, obviously I played a part, I can see that.
No, not at all. I met you and I thought, cute guy. God, if only you had a son, a geeky teenage kid if possible, and then you turned up at my house with Marcus and bingo. Now, I made this crazy link because of some deep psychological need in me.
Well, you shouldn't beat yourself up about it.
He smiles faintly.
Could have happened to anyone.
He looks down and rubs his face with his hand.
You know, the first time I met you, I thought you were a bit... blank. But then you changed my mind. But maybe I was right.
Rachel, listen.
Yes?
Will looks as if he's something to say, and she waits expectantly. But nothing comes to him, and he looks down, shame-faced.
I'm sorry, you're right.
After a moment, he looks up at her.
I'm blank. I'm really... nothing.
He nods slowly. Rachel's surprised.
I don't know what the hell I was thinking of. I'm sorry.
Will gets up from the table and walks away, leaving Rachel sitting by herself. Will sits on the sofa alone in his flat. Marcus walks cheerfully through the playground and goes over to Ellie.
Bye, Ellie!
Woo!
Marcus, my man.
They high-five.
Marcus, see you, Marcus.
Now, wearing a trendy baseball cap, Marcus walks cheerily on. He arrives home and lets himself in through the front door. He goes into the kitchen and stops in his tracks. His mum is sitting on a sofa with tears streaming down her face.
Mum?
She looks up and forces herself to smile at him through her tears. But the sadness gets the better of her, and she buries her head in her hands. Rooted to the spot and not knowing what to do, Marcus just stares at her. Later, he's in a maths lesson.
So, if Z equals 17, does X have to be more than 2? Marcus.
I didn't know what the answer was. I didn't know what X equaled. And I didn't know how to help my mum.
He wanders alone along a school corridor. He stops in front of a notice board. A notice reads, Kids Rock, can you bring it? Show your talent at the school rock concert. Sign up now.
And then I realised there was something she said I could do for her. I'm thinking of singing at the school concert.
You, at the rock concert? I don't think that would be a very good idea, Marcus.
Will you accompany me? All I've got is a tambourine.
No, I'm sorry. It's suicide. I mean, like, they'll crucify you.
Marcus nods, looks down and walks away. At his flat, Will sits moping on the sofa. Hearing the bell, he goes and robotically opens the front door. Marcus walks in. Will pauses in the doorway for a moment before shutting the door. He follows Marcus up the stairs into the flat.
Mum's at it again.
Will ambles up to the top of the stairs.
What? Sorry.
What do you mean, what? The crying. She just sits in the house all day crying. She does it in the mornings, too.
Will stands with his hands on his hips.
It's as bad now as it was before the dead duck day.
Will stares vacantly at Marcus for a moment, then absently rests a hand on his espresso machine.
Oh, I'm sorry, mate.
He stares down at the floor.
Bit busy at the moment.
You're busy? Doing what?
Will leans on the worktop.
Didn't you hear me?
Yeah, I heard you. I heard you. What do you want me to do about it?
I don't know. You could talk to her.
Oh, yeah? And what would I say?
I don't know.
Well, why would she listen to me? Who am I to her? I'm nobody.
You're not nobody. You're...
Who? Who do you think I am? Who do you think you are? You come here uninvited, you disrupt my life, you screw things up. What do you want from me, Marcus? This isn't my problem. I'm not your family, mate. I'm not. I'm not your uncle, I'm not your big brother, and I think we've established pretty firmly now I'm not your father either, am I? I tell you what I am. I'm the guy who's really good at choosing trainers or records, okay? That's it. I can't help you with real things. I can't help you with anything that means anything.
Will slopes off into the living room.
You could try.
Marcus follows after him. Will flops down on the sofa. He stares up at Marcus.
You're right. You can't help me. How could you? You're just a stupid person who hangs around watching TV all day and buys things.
Marcus goes over to the top of the stairs, picks his bag up and storms off, out. Will sits alone on the sofa. At school, Marcus, deep in thought, paces through the playground past the other kids. Now he walks along a school corridor.
Mum had said that when I sang, it brought sunshine and happiness into her life. So I'd do it, even if it meant mine was over.
He walks up to the kids' rock sign on the notice board and adds his name to the list of volunteers.
I've been dreaming of the things I learned about a boy who's bleeding. Celebrate to elevate.
Later, he arrives home and gives a flyer for the concert to his mum. She takes it and he smiles at her. Fiona looks up from the flyer, smiles briefly at him, then looks back down at it. Uncertain, Marcus leaves her. He stands alone in the school playground, hands in pockets, staring at the ground, oblivious to all the other children playing around him. Ipso facto, using up your oxygen. Will's in a record shop looking through a rack of CDs. Having made a selection, he wanders towards the counter to pay. You've got to let me
in or let me out. My life is made up of units of time. Buying CDs, 2 units. Eating lunch, 3 units. Exercising, 2 units. All in all, I had a very full life.
He surveys his shelves and takes a CD entitled One Hit Wonders from one. He looks at it for a moment, then loads it into his CD player.
It's just that it didn't mean anything.
Slowly, he turns away from the CD player and collapses onto his knees. He opens his mouth and buries his head in his hands, the very picture of despair.
The fact was, there was only one thing that meant something to me.
Hearing the bell, he gets up and hurries to the front door. As he opens it, 3 kids run off down the street.
Marcus. He was the only thing that meant something to me. And Fiona was the only thing that meant something to him. And she was about to fall off the edge.
He's on her doorstep. He waits for her to come to the door. When she doesn't answer, he rings again. He tries peering through the windows to see if he can see her. He notices a poster for Spat up in the window. He thinks for a moment, then runs to his car.
Single parents alone together, single parents alone together, single parents alone together, all for one and one for all!
Will rushes into the meeting.
Fiona! Will! We haven't seen you for a while. How's Ned?
Who? Oh, he's a load of crap. Doesn't exist. Yeah, made him up.
You made him up?
Yeah, to meet women.
You're sick.
Yeah. Fiona, I got to talk to you.
Go ahead.
No, you know, properly talk to you, privately.
No, this is a circle of truth. Whatever you have to say, you can say it in front of everybody.
Will looks around.
Okay. Please don't try and commit suicide again.
In a back room.
Leave, you just said that. That is my private experience.
Oh, yeah, well, that's the thing, isn't it? It's not, because Marcus is worried about you. And I'm worried about Marcus because he's worried about
Will,
you.
Well, so I don't have plans to commit suicide.
You don't?
Not at the moment, no.
Right.
He hugs her.
Right. Well, good.
Well, you know, I'm not attracted to you, Ryan.
Huh? What are you on about? No, what are you, nuts? All right, wrong word completely. But that's, you know, something that we should, you know, talk about a bit, this crying in the morning thing, this depression, you know, let's get that fixed.
That's what men think, isn't it?
Will's baffled.
What?
That unless you've got the answer, unless you can say, oh, I know this bloke in the Essex Road who could fix that, then there's no point bothering.
No. Well, yeah, okay, I would. I'd love to know the name of the bloke in the Essex Road because I've got a feeling I'd be useless, but...
Oh, Will, you're not useless. You're here, and that matters.
Right.
Now, can we, do you mind?
What?
Marcus is singing at the school concert.
Marcus is singing?
Yeah, singing.
School?
Yeah, it's a pop concert. He's really excited, so I'm going to get there on time.
Wait. What is he singing?
Killing me softly with his songs, telling my whole life.
Will's car roars along.
Okay, what time's this thing start?
What have you got against Marcus singing anyway?
You know the dream where you turn up at school without your trousers on and everyone laughs at you?
What's this got to do with anything?
That is what this is going to be for Marcus. But for real, if he sings that song in front of those kids,
You could just write him off till he reaches university, if he reaches university, because he's going to get torn to shreds.
No, you cannot stop someone from expressing themselves.
But he's not expressing himself, he's expressing you, okay?
She gapes open-mouthed.
Oh, God.
What?
She puts her hand to her face.
Will, am I a bad mother?
No. No, you're not a bad mother, you're just barking lunacy.
Oh, I am a bad mother. I've let things slide and I haven't been noticing properly. I mean, he's a special, very, very special boy and he's got a special soul and I've wounded it.
Oh, please, just shut up. You're wounding my soul.
The Audi screeches round a right-hander. At the school, the two nerdy kids from the playground arrive early for the concert and select their seats near the front. Later, the hall begins to fill up behind them. Marcus peeps from behind the stage curtain at the school hall's capacity audience and gulps. Will's Audi comes to an abrupt halt in a street.
OK, you park it.
Will gets out of the car. Fiona watches him go, then looks around the car uncertainly. Will runs down the pavement to the school, goes through the school gate and legs it over the playground. Fiona puts the car in gear. Will runs up some stairs. Fiona looks out of the rear window and the car lurches forwards. Will walks into the school hall. On stage, four boys breakdance to rap music while the audience clap along enthusiastically. Backstage, Marcus and another boy watch the rappers with mounting terror. Will makes his way into the auditorium, cuts along a row of seats and sees Rachel clapping along with the number. Seeing him, her smile melts.
Hi. What are you doing here?
That's Ali up there.
On stage, Ali performs some inept breakdance moves and then strikes an attitude pose.
And he's, talented.
Will hurries on. Rachel watches him go and rolls her eyes. One of the rappers performs some slick moves, spinning around on his head. Then the group come to the end of the routine and strike a suitable massive in the house pose. After the curtains have closed, a balding, bespectacled middle-aged master clutching a clipboard steps out on stage.
Now that was the Death Penalty crew with Murder for Life. Our next big act is Marcus Brewer, singing Roberta Flack's beloved Killing Me Softly.
Fiona's arrived.
He'll be accompanied by Simon Cosgrove on the recorder.
Simon's nerve is going.
Marcus, I can't do this. That looks going to shit all over us.
But you said...
I'm sorry, here's your £5 back.
Simon gives Marcus a fiver and goes.
Any moment now.
The bully from the playground starts a slow hand clap. On stage, the master looks quite uncomfortable. Backstage, Marcus looks very uncomfortable. Will gets into the backstage area.
Come on, Marcus, you wally!
Marcus stands like a rabbit caught in the headlights. Will sees him.
Wait.
Excuse me, what is going on here?
Ali, everything's under control. I'm just, his voice coach.
What are you doing here?
I heard you were about to commit social suicide, so I thought I'd just drop by, you know.
My confidence left.
Well, that's brilliant, then you don't have to do it.
Can't do that.
Yeah, you can. Just, you know, tell him artistic differences. You can't work without him. He had a drug problem. It's easy.
My mum wants me to sing it. It'll make her happy.
Look, Marcus, mate, nothing you do can make your mum happy, right? I mean, not in the long term. She has to do that for herself.
Get over here right now.
Just bugger off, will you? What I'm saying is, the important thing is to make yourself feel happy.
Try just making myself happy. She's tried making herself happy. But it doesn't work. Need other people to make you happy.
That's just it. If other people can make you happy, then they can also make you unhappy. What, you think those people out there are going to make you happy?
Marcus walks onto the stage.
Hang on, wait. Marcus.
The curtains draw back and Marcus finds himself facing the packed hall. Clutching his tambourine, he steps nervously forward. The bully and his sidekick snigger. Will watches helplessly from the wings.
Come on, Brittany.
Yeah, get a song then.
Marcus turns and looks into the wings. Unable to help him, Will drops his gaze sadly. Marcus turns back to the audience.
This is for my mum.
Standing in an aisle in the hall, Fiona steps forward, her eyes fixed on Marcus.
I heard he sang a
good soul. I heard he had a style, and so I came to see him, to listen for a while. And there he was, this young boy, a stranger to my eyes.
You're rubbish, mate!
Will lowers his head. Sadly, Fiona looks up at Marcus.
Strumming my pain with his fingers.
Will looks around and sees a kid with a guitar. Marcus looks apprehensively at the audience. Will walks on strumming the guitar.
Killing me softly with his song. Killing me softly.
Who the hell is that?
With his song, telling my whole life. With his words, killing me softly. With his song.
Marcus smiles up at Will.
I felt
all flushed with fever. Embarrassed by the crowd, I felt teeth found my letters and read each one out. I prayed that he would finish, but he just kept right on, strumming my pain with his fingers, singing my life with his words, killing me softly.
Give it a rest.
Ellie thumps the heckler.
With his song telling my whole life, with his words killing me softly, with his song.
Marcus takes a bow and makes to leave the stage, but...
He sang as if he knew me.
Will?
In all my darkest spell.
Will, we finished?
And then he looked right through me as if I wasn't there.
Will, come on.
The audience gape as Will loses himself in the song.
Will, we finished?
La 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 la. La la la.
A boy throws an apple and the picture freezes.
So there I was, killing them softly with my song. Or rather being killed, and not that softly either. I was singing with my eyes closed. Was I frightened? I was petrified. This was definitely not island living.
I like killing me softly.
The apple hits Will's head.
With his song.
After Will's final flourish, Marcus laughs at him, as does Rachel.
Thank you, Finsbury. I'd like to introduce one or two members of the band. Marcus Brewer on vocals and tambourine.
Marcus smiles happily.
That's about it. Let's get off quick, get off.
Marcus and his mum outside.
Marcus, thank you for the song. You were terrific.
You think so?
Yeah. As a matter of fact, I think we should celebrate.
Okay.
How about McDonald's?
McDonald's?
Yeah.
Thanks, Mum, but it's okay.
No, really, I want to go to McDonald's.
You know, I'm not really hungry.
Oh, come on, are you telling me you couldn't murder a Big Mac?
Mum.
He looks down.
Okay, another time.
They stroll on along the pavement.
Anytime. I'm going to be around a while, you know?
As they walk along, Marcus puts his arm round his mum. Will is sitting on a sofa at home watching Frankenstein on the TV.
By the following Christmas, things were back to normal. Every man is an island. I stand by that.
Rachel kisses him.
But, clearly, some men are part of island chains. Below the surface of the ocean, they're actually connected.
So you're going to marry my mum, then?
Dunno. Why? You think she's up for it?
I used to want Will to marry my mum.
Serious?
Yeah, but that was when she was depressed and I was desperate.
Thanks, mate. Cheers.
Will, how do you use this blender food?
You don't.
I used to think two wasn't enough.
Jesus Christ.
Now there were loads of people. And that was great. Mostly.
Oi!
he's going to get up and have a walk.
Ellie comes over and pulls Ali off the sofa.
How do you know, Will?
Well, we volunteered together at Amnesty International a couple of years ago.
Yes, right. How is the Burmese situation, Tom? Better?
I mean, good?
Yeah, and so he called me up out of the blue for Christmas lunch, so here I am.
Really?
Will walks back into the living room and sits down next to Marcus, who now sports a trendy haircut and cool clothes.
So listen, what's the deal with you and Ellie now? I mean, is she, you know, your girlfriend?
Are you insane?
Will's confused.
Where'd you get those trainers?
Well, what's wrong with them?
Nothing.
What?
By the way, I do think you and Rachel have a shot. I mean, if you don't screw it up.
Thank you.
I'd created a monster. Or maybe he'd created me.
The others bring the food out of the kitchen.
I don't know what Will was so upset about. All I meant was, I don't think couples are the future. You need more than that. You need backup. The way I saw it, Will and I both had backup now.
They all eat together.
It's like that thing he told me John Bon Jovi said. No man is an island.
Marcus smiles and the picture freezes on him. ITFC audio description by John Walskill was voiced by James O'Hara.
Talk about. There's something to talk about.